50 years ago this month, Congress signed into law sweeping gun control regulations. It was the first time the federal government tried to regulate who was too dangerous to buy a gun. For Guns in America, Aditi Bundlamudi reports on how that conversation has changed over the decades.
The summer of 1968 saw race riots across the country, many of which included gun violence. In April of 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. is assassinated. In June, Robert Kennedy.
Today we begin to disarm the criminal and the careless and the insane.
So in response, Congress passes the 1968 Gun Control Act. And in October, President Lyndon B. Johnson signs it into law.
And we've come here to the Cabinet Room today to sign the most comprehensive gun control law ever signed in this nation's history.
The law prohibits people with felony records and illegal drug users from purchasing firearms, but it also tries to set up boundaries for people with severe mental illnesses from getting access too.
It's really focused on people who have been involuntarily committed or have had one of these other kinds of mental health-related adjudications.
That's Jeff Swanson. He's a professor of psychiatry at Duke University School of Medicine. He says at the time, the general public and some of the medical community believed people with mental illnesses were dangerous.
We do know that the overwhelming majority of people with serious mental illnesses are not violent.
In fact, only 3-5% of crimes are committed by someone with a mental illness. But today, if we talk about gun violence, mental illness is usually included in the conversation. In truth, alcohol and substance abuse are more closely associated with a higher risk of violence than mental illnesses.
I can't tell you the number of times I sat on the bench and listened to testimony of a family member who said, "We saw the warning signs. He had access to a gun, and yes, there was a shooting."
Marsha Morey was a district court judge in North Carolina, and after 18 years on the bench, she was appointed to the state legislature as a Democrat. Morey wanted to build on federal law at the state level. She tried to pass an extreme risk protection order bill for her state, also known as a red flag law. These laws allow a judge to temporarily seize a person's firearms if a family member or law enforcement official thinks a person is dangerous and likely to hurt themselves or others.
What happened after the Parkland massacre and the kids from Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School coming out demanding lawmakers do something just hit home to me after being a judge for so many years and watching cases in court. I thought in North Carolina we should address it.
But red flag laws are controversial. Some believe it infringes on a person's Second Amendment right and worry that courts could take away guns without due process. Morey's bill didn't pass. 13 states across the U.S. have passed red flag laws. Many more are considering them. And a few bills include language about mental illness, including North Carolina's. But many experts in psychiatry believe looking at mental illness is the wrong place to address violence. Paul Applebaum teaches at Columbia University.
There are lots of people who are behaving erratically, using substances, whether alcohol or illegal, for whom we are able to say, it's a really bad idea for this person to have a gun right now. But most of those people are not mentally ill.
Applebaum says we're looking to create simple dividing lines on who's fit to own a gun and who isn't, often based on mental health. But the more we learn about mental illness, the more complicated it becomes to draw those lines. For Guns in America, I'm Aditi Bundlamudi.